Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, November 29th, 2010. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Health, Hope, and a Large Dose of Humor, with my guest, Denise Price Thomas, and a healthcare consultant and motivational and inspirational speaker. But first, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. I realize you have many other things you could do, especially right now during the holiday season. If you're listening live, I encourage you to participate, and you can do that by asking questions or adding comments. To ask questions or add comments, if you're on the phone line, you just press pound 1 to let me know you have a question or a comment. If you're over there in the chat room, you just type in your questions or your comments, and I'll be able to see them and read them on the air. Now, many of you are listening to the recorded version of the show, and I want to thank you and welcome you as well. Regardless of how you access the show, if you enjoy it, don't keep it a secret. On my show page at blogtalkradio.com, Flora Brown, you can follow me on Twitter, you can follow me on Facebook, click the like button, but most important, right there on my show page, add yourself as a friend of my show and add my show as your favorite. Now, I know many of you have your own businesses, so before we move on, I want to tell you about the business tool I used to help me discover my ideal client. The Ideal Client Action Guide helped me realize that trying to be everything to everybody is like using a BB gun to hit a bullseye. By working through the activities with the guidance of the audio recording, I was able to take the guesswork out of my marketing, and so can you at www.idealclientactionguide.com. If you're ready to grow your business, add more clients, and enjoy the increased profits you deserve, then tailoring your marketing to your ideal clients is the key to your success. So do what I did. Get your copy of the guide today at www.idealclientactionguide.com. Now, I don't have to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. We are officially in the 2010 holiday season, and I'm sure you can tell by looking all around you. But I know some of you are not all that happy about the holidays. Are you one of those who secretly dreads the nonstop holiday music that pipes through the mall? Or you just don't look forward to that extra demand on your time spent shopping and cooking? Or maybe the social expectations, the strain on your budget, and the clashing of personalities and unresolved hurts called family holiday dinner. Now, that may be you, or on the other side of the coin, you may find yourself during this season without a mate or any remaining relatives. And for you, the holidays may even promise loneliness. I want all of you to know you don't have to settle for either of these situations. My friend and colleague, Monique Holm, and I have learned from experience over the years a terrific set of tips and strategies that will help you reduce holiday stress and create a joyful season for yourself. They are part of our Tuesday, December 7th teleclass called How to Make Your Holiday Merry, Not Scary, Stress-Reducing, Sanity-Saving Tips That Work Year-Round. Now, even if December 7th is not a good time for you, sign up for the class anyway, because we'll be sending out a recording of the class afterwards. To get the details and to sign up, visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com/holiday. Let me repeat that, coloryourlifehappy.com/holiday. We look forward to making your holidays the wonderful occasion it can be. So join us on December 7th, at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time, or just sign up and then you'll get the recording later. I promise you, you'll be glad you did. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, and career. All of those things which contribute to our lasting happiness. Today's episode is Health, Hope, and a Large Dose of Humor. And my guest is Denise Price Thomas, who for 34 years enjoyed a career in healthcare. Now, throughout her career, Denise has been passionate about creating positive experiences for patients, family members, customers, and staff. Continuing her passion, she enjoys teaching customer service, effective communication, and other topics. She inspires others by using heartwarming stories and humor that she has gleaned from her management experience and from life itself. Denise is a motivational and inspirational speaker who is sometimes joined by her alter ego, Gladys Friday, healthcare comedian. Laughter is like a medicine, and Gladys Friday delivers a large dose of humor to audiences of all ages, from pediatrics to geriatrics. Everyone loves Gladys Friday. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Denise Price Thomas. Hi, Denise.
Good morning. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm looking forward to this episode.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
You're most welcome. Now, I just realized when I was reading that 34 years in healthcare, that's quite a career.
That is quite a career. I started actually at age 5. I'm very young.
That's what I figured. Kind of like I did.
That's right. We were babies.
We were babies. But we were fortunate. They took us into our careers. And so during that long period of time, I know there must have been something that kept you there. So what did you enjoy most about working in that industry for 34 years?
You know, Flora, I really have a desire to help other people. And I always want to make a difference. And every day in healthcare, and I guess with everything, but especially healthcare, there seemed to be a way that you could make a difference and to make someone feel better. Mm-hmm. I was able to turn my thoughts and my energies into helping somebody every day. And lots of times my life was a struggle. But I found myself, when I would walk into that office, I just would let go of those struggles and find out how I could help someone else through theirs.
That's wonderful, and I'm happy you pointed that out, because sometimes people think that when we're helping others that means that we have absolutely no problems and our lives are perfect, and that is not true. That is not true, but they say that one of the best ways to forget about your problems is to help someone else with theirs. And sometimes our problems work themselves out when we're not thinking about them so much, don't they?
They absolutely do. Most of the time, if we would pick up our cards at the end of the day, we would choose our own problems and go home with them, wouldn't we?
Yes. Or we would choose to not have any at all, which doesn't work, because problems are our growing, are the ways that we grow is through the problems that we work out. So somehow we need those. Now, how did you go about forgetting your struggles while you were at work? Because that's an important thing to be able to do.
Yes, it is. It's a bit difficult some days, of course, but I actually considered it a privilege to be there at work. I would close my car door, and I would open that office door, and there was a newness, like I said, each day. And you know, just making a difference, and I would concentrate on that. I actually would search for a way to help somebody else. Mm-hmm. And when you turn your direction to something positive like that, you really do forget about your own troubles. Even on weekends, Flora, I would find myself, I started a little business on the side with children's birthday parties, and I would be any character that any birthday party mom wanted. I would dress up like Mickey Mouse or a pirate or whatever, and to bring joy to those children and put my energy into making children happy. So that was fun too, even on weekends.
That's wonderful. And then, of course, by doing these parties, that helped you as well, because I take it that was extra income.
It was. I had two little girls, and I loved to dress them up and make them look pretty. And, of course, I appreciated the fact that I could keep heat on and some groceries on the table. So I stayed pretty busy with that.
Yeah, those are kind of important things. But it's wonderful when you can do that by enjoying whatever it is that you do. That's so important. If we could only always seek to find something you enjoy doing to make the money, it's just a wonderful thing. Now, when did you decide to begin speaking to other healthcare organizations?
Well, you see, my daddy's my hero. Mm-hmm. And when he was diagnosed with cancer, that was a very difficult part of our life. And I found myself standing beside him on the other side of the healthcare desk. And, you know, I'd been working on the other side for years, and I knew how that was supposed to go. And I thought that everyone in healthcare treated patients with dignity and compassion like we did at our office.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I found that not to be true. We had some situations that were very positive that we tried to focus on, but some were so negative that it really made an impact upon, you know, him as a patient and our family. Mm-hmm. So I remember promising Daddy, as we sat in a lobby, a large lobby one day, I said, "Daddy, I'm sorry for the way that you were just treated, and I am going to make a difference in every way that I can. That's my mission." And like I said, he was my hero. So I started making up these character names, and they wake me up for it in the middle of the night.
Oh, my goodness.
Their names are like, I'm a gossip, and she is always gossiping in the hallways. And, you know, people pick up on those kind of things. And if you're, if you overhear someone talking about a patient, then you're going to either assume that they're talking about you or they will be talking about you when you leave. Mm-hmm. Shirley Knott, she's another person that we ran into while Daddy was sick. And Shirley Knott would surely not schedule another patient in her schedule. And she was surely not going to call that patient back. And I used those character names to put a splash of humor in there, but yet get those important issues, you know, across. And then we have Mr. Doom and Gloom, who was always negative and looking for the negative in everything. He can't see any positive. Mm-hmm. And those are characters that we all know.
Yes.
And, you know, we have a choice every day to be happy and to help other people or to be sad and mad and inconsiderate. And I choose to be happy.
That's great.
It is so, my choice, you know?
Yep.
You know, I mean, no one can take that from us. I have another couple. They're actually Rob and Robin Joy. And they will try to rob your joy away from you. But we can keep that, you know, to ourselves.
Yeah. The interesting, when you said Rob and Robin Joy, I laughed because that couple seems to get all around the world. They travel a lot.
They do. They're everywhere, Flora, everywhere. And, you know, so many times we spend so much time, I think, in our life in the recovery room. taking back things that we said and apologizing for our negative actions and things like that. And that's something that my daddy didn't have to do. He lived his life every day the right way. He was just such a wonderful example. I wish everyone could have that, and I wish I were more like him. When I was growing up, he would wake me up in the mornings to go to school and to church, and even on Saturday, because we had to clean the house at 8 o'clock on Saturday. But he would wake me singing "You Are My Sunshine" every morning.
That's beautiful. Oh, my gosh.
And how could you not wake up with a smile, you know?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Thank you. You know, the day that Daddy changed his address to heaven, we found something, a treasure, in his wallet that we didn't even know. None of the family members, we didn't know that it was in there. We didn't know who had written it, and we didn't know even how long it had been there.
Mm-hmm.
But what we did know was that every day he actually lived his life like this. And if I may, I would love to share it with
you. Would
you
please? Sure.
Yeah. It says, "This is the beginning of a new day. God has given me this day to use as I will. I can waste it or use it for some good. But what I do with this day is important because I have exchanged a day of my life for it. When tomorrow comes, today will be gone forever. I hope I will not regret the price that I paid for it."
Wow. That's beautiful. That is just beautiful.
Isn't it?
That is such a wonderful way to start our day, because if we recognize that we've exchanged that day for our lives, as he says at the end, oh my goodness, it puts such a different slant on that day, and we definitely don't want to waste it or use it for something other than good.
That's right.
Now, tell me how you discovered your alter ego named Gladys Friday. I know you have quite a few alter ego, but Gladys Friday is the one that I first noticed when I learned about you. So tell us how she came about.
Okay, well, she was another one of those characters that awakened me in the middle of the night. And being in healthcare, you know, thinking about glad it's Friday, because everybody in every business is always glad it's Friday. At the bank, at the retail, usually, everywhere, people kind of tend to work differently on Fridays. But anyway, everybody's always happy. And I think that by using humor in the trials through my life, it's just been extremely helpful and helpful. I think it keeps our heart healthier when we look for some fun things. And so Gladys woke me up with her name in the middle of the night. That name came to me. But we've even found, my friend and I have to share this with you. We went to a funeral home to visit a friend that had passed away. And I'm real allergic to flowers. So as we stood in line, my friend, she said, "Why don't you just stay out here? We'll go ahead and sign the register, and I'll go on in, because there are a lot of flowers in there. So when I get closer, you know, to view the body," as we say, she said, "I'll motion for you to come on up." And I said, "Okay, that's great." So I stood out in the foyer, and it seems like I was the Walmart greeter, you know, just speaking to everybody. And so as she got a little closer, she motioned for me to come on. And so I said, "You know, I didn't see anyone that I knew." And she said, "I didn't either. That's unusual." And I said, "I know." So we got closer, and when we looked in to view the body, the phrase that, you know, when you hear people say, "Oh, she looked better than I ever seen her before." Well, that was true, because we had never seen her before. It was not our friend that had passed away. So, anyway, we got a big kick out of that. We left.
You were at the wrong funeral home?
We were at the wrong funeral home, yes, ma'am. And of course missed the other one. So.
So
we kind of named that the funeral home instead of funeral home from then on, you know. You just have to look for humor, and Gladys does just that.
I'm just thinking about all those people you greeted who were coming in and how you may have made a big difference in their lives by greeting them out there, even though, as it turns out, you definitely didn't know them because they weren't your friends' friends. But that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah, I think humor can help in many situations. And even with funerals, when you were saying that, it reminded me that at my husband's funeral, his sister had written a poem about their lives growing up. And it was so funny that that was one of the few funerals I've ever attended where we were actually laughing. I mean, just laughing. Out loud because of this poem. I didn't know she had written it, and I guess nobody else did either. But it was so funny, the different little incidents that she mentioned. And, of course, we all who knew him, you know, we could relate to what she was saying. So yeah. Humor is a great tension reliever, a stress reliever, and it's something we can use many times. Now, before we move on, I want you to tell people how they can reach you in the event they want to use your services as a motivational speaker, either in healthcare, because you speak to patient groups as well as to the professionals who work in the healthcare industry, right?
It's gone into more like church groups and women's retreats and things other than healthcare, which was very surprising to me, but I love it. So, go ahead.
Go ahead and tell us how to reach you.
Okay. My website is just my name. It's www.denise, D-E-N-I-S-E, Price, P-R-I-C-E, Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S.com.
Okay.
And on that website, Gladys has her own blog that you can get to from there. And she gives a Friday Funny every Friday. Gladys Friday blog.
Okay. I like that. I like Gladys's pose over the fan.
That is her medical Monroe pose.
Yes. That's funny.
I like that.
So people should go to www.denisepricethomas.com, and from there they can also get to Gladys's blog. So anyone who's listening now and is interested in adding humor and motivation to your program, almost any program can benefit from Gladys Friday or from Denise's services. Now, I want to move on to talk about... in addition to your professional presentations about customer service and communication, teamwork, I understand that you entertain all those people too. So would you give us a taste of Gladys's humor?
Oh, sure. she usually just hangs around the house. And, you know, when we go on these trips, I can't even get her to pack for herself. Can you believe that?
Oh, my goodness.
I can't get her to help out at all. Mm. But she actually, being a Southern Belle, she actually pretends to dip a little snuff, just like her grandmother used to do. So let me see if I can go find her. I may find her in the snuff room right now. Hold on just a moment.
Okay.
Hello, is this Flora?
Yes, it is. Hi, Gladys.
This is Gladys Friday. It's so good to hear from you today.
Well, thank you.
I wanted to tell you a little bit about communication you mentioned in healthcare, I heard. Let me just tell you something, that you got to always make sure you're real clear in healthcare, because sometimes we're trying to tell somebody, you know, something, and they're thinking one thing and you're saying another, and they're not listening with both ears. And that happens sometimes, and
sure,
it's for all of us. But I remember the time we told that lady in our office to use some suppositories, and actually we gave them to her, and so she came back a couple days later saying nothing was happening, and finally we figured out she was not taking the foil off of the suppositories now, Flora. So they were not working, and you know how that goes.
Yep.
So I feel real sorry for her because she can't fly on an airplane anymore. She's stuck in security every single time. She's a mess. Oh, and speaking of communication, let me tell you about another true story we had with the gallstones. People back in the 70s, they mm-hmm. would have their gallbladder taken out, you see. Mm-hmm. And what happened was some of them would say, I want to see my gallstones. Mm-hmm. Well, that was okay with the doctors. And so Dr. Bond, he retired from our group. He was one of my bosses. It took a lot of bosses to keep me straight, I'll tell you that right now. But Dr. Bond, he was getting ready to operate on this lady, and she said, now, Dr. Bond, I want to see my gallstones. And he said, no problem. Well, he put her to sleep, did the gallbladder surgery, and that evening he went up to her room making his rounds. And there sat her daughter right by her side, and he said, now, your mama done great during her surgery, and when she wakes up tomorrow and eats her some breakfast, she can go home. Mm-hmm. Everything's okay. And he said, now, when she wakes up, be sure to give her these. And he handed her those gallstones in a little specimen cup with mm-hmm. a lid on them. Talk about some communication now. The next morning, Dr. Flora, he is making his rounds, and the woman's sitting up, and she's eating her breakfast, moving around a little bit, and he said, well, you're going to get to go home, and she said, well, let me remind you, I want to see my gallstones, and he said, well, I brought them up here last night, I gave them to your daughter sitting here, and her daughter looked and said, oh, and Dr. Bond, you said to give them to her, and I did. With water. And there's a little Bible verse that says, this too shall pass, and I know that was written.
She put them right back where they had come from.
She did. Now, she didn't have to have any more surgery. It all came out in the wash.
No, That's good. Now, what about your experiences with colonoscopies? Because that's something that scares some people.
It does scare some people. And you know what you was talking about your husband's funeral, about a poem that was funny. Well, see, mm-hmm. what I'm going to give out at mine is going to be whoopee cushions to everybody at my funeral so they can uh-huh. just whoop it up and laugh and have a good time. Because that's what life is all about. My sister is a 7-year colon cancer survivor. Mm-hmm. And so after that, we were so happy about that. So happy. My brother-in-law actually gave her a gift certificate to get her colonoscopy the first time for her uh-huh. birthday. Isn't that nice of him?
Yeah. That's nice.
So after they found that out, then they told me I had to have a colonoscopy. Well, you want to know what's worse than that? I was too young for one thing. But the worst part is my boss had to give it to me.
Oh.
Now, there's not a lot of people that can say their boss gave them a colonoscopy. Do you know of anybody?
Nope.
Well, they called that prep that they gave me, they called it go lightly. That is a lie because there is nothing going lightly about it. I mixed it up with a little bit of apple juice to uh-huh. get the taste out. And my sister, she wanted me to call her and chat for a little while on the phone because she knew what was going to be coming down. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yes, I do.
It's so about the time that everything started, you know, the process, I'm usually an alto voice, and my My voice hit the highest soprano you have ever heard in your life. But, you know, we all get through those things and everything.
Yep.
It's just something that we need to do and grin and bear it. But it's the weirdest thing, though, Dr. Flora, that they give us this prep at night while everybody in the house is snoring, you know, and you're in the bathroom by yourself. Wishing you had a seatbelt for the toilet because you're going to need one of those too, right? That Gladys, she knows how to make things happen.
Yep. And it's interesting because I can relate to each thing you've shared. That's wonderful. Well, Gladys sounds like Gladys. You're still there, Gladys?
I'm still here, but I'm going to have to go in just a minute if that's all right.
All right, I just want to thank you for making time to come and join us on the air because you certainly have brought some humor to the situations that could sometimes be a little lacking in humor.
That's right. That's what I'm here for.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I'll get Denise. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Hey, Miss Flora.
Hey, Gladys is something else. Boy, I can see why she's a favorite at
yes,
some of these
she is. And I love to hang around her. She makes me laugh.
Now, are there other characters that you play that you want to share with us?
Well, yes. There is Diane Hart, which is, I actually do... It's on a more serious note. It's a musical drama that's very touching, and I do that for churches. And it's actually a Diane Hart, stands for Dying Heart, and it's actually a homeless person. And I usually arrive dressed as that homeless person with, you know, that no one knows that I'm in that character. And sometimes churches... kind of find out how people greet a homeless person and will respond to those people. And as I'm sitting there, whatever character I am playing, whatever role it is, I actually feel that part and become that person. And I learn so much as I'm sitting in those pews and those chairs because I'm hearing the chatter around me and the things that, you know, really... shouldn't matter as much as someone that may be really homeless, you know, and have a lost soul and have no happiness. So, you know, it's just all about turning your thoughts and actions onto someone else to help them and to make a difference in whatever area it is. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, that's an interesting experience to put yourself in another role and observe how people treat you in that role. It's got to be a real eye-opener because I don't think that most of us pause to think about it for very much about how other people who are homeless and such feel. And yet, as that character, you get to not only find out how they're treated, you get to actually feel what it feels like because when you're in that character, I'm sure that, you know, like you say, you put on the whole, not only the costumes, but the feelings, and you get really into it.
Yeah.
So that's got to be amazing. When you finish, let's say you are doing that character, Diane Hart, for a church, when they reveal to the congregation who you are and that you've been playing that role, how do people react?
It's amazing. There are a lot of tears, a lot of tears. And as I'm sitting in the pew, when the music starts, then I actually get up, and it's a musical drama that I play the part and actually search through a trash can and try to find rest on a park bench and that sort of thing. And the impact is so... Actually, I can't even practice it without tears, real tears.
Wow.
A little boy in the church, he was in children's church, and they brought the children in there to see and even the kids, they really just got it. And they look at homeless people on the road differently now because of that. They've told me that. But well, one little boy said, "Mommy, is she really homeless?" Because she had real fears. But afterwards, I usually, you know, I will leave and they'll have some special music or something. And then I actually come back and deliver the message with some scripture reading and the feelings that I feel, you know, as that, as playing that part, you know, and it's me that I hear on, that's talking about, oh, I love those earrings, that's a beautiful suit, and things like that, that are normal things that we talk
mm-hmm.
about. It's
mm-hmm.
our daily life. But yet, when you're sitting and playing that part, just like you said, there's a that's a huge impact, and you start to see things differently when you are that person.
That's amazing. Could you share someone else with us? Do you have another character you'd like to share?
I do. There's actually, this one was the first one that was born. Her name is Bernice Beecham, and she actually is a church secretary and does a little hairdo on the side. So she cuts hair on the side. Her best friend, actually, is I'm a Gossip, and you know that will lead with a church secretary and a beautician together, right? As I tell my beautician, we have a little bleaching and preaching as we go to the beauty shop to see Mother Nature. But I performed as Bernice at my home church, and that was really the first one that I did as another character like this that I had made up. And actually, a lady that knew me when I was born, she had no idea that it was me. I mean, she had known me since birth. And she called me over to the table, and she said, "Can I ask you something?" She said, "Are you going to keep visiting our church?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I'm thinking about it." And, of course, I'm dressed as an older lady with earbobs and a pocketbook and gloves and a hat and a wig. And it's Gladys's sister, but she's an older sister.
Uh-huh.
And she said, "Well, I wondered if maybe you would come and pick me up for church if you're going to keep visiting." And I said, "Well, honey, I don't know. I'm on a fixed income and gas is so high, so I'll just have to think that over." Bless her little heart, right?
Right. That's amazing. And she didn't know it was you all that time.
She had no idea. No idea. It's fun. It's fun. My mom always said I was a character.
Well, your mom could have put a plural on that. You were characters.
That's true.
Now, what's going to happen as you get older to your characters?
Well, you know, somebody said just recently, they said, "You're not going to be able to do this when you get so old that you can't travel and do." I said, "Oh, yes, I will. I'll just change my name to Anita Walker." Because I will need a walker.
Hopefully
it won't be a wheelchair, just a walker.
Just a walker. Well, that's
right.
Going to be wonderful. And what I like about your characters is I can see, as you were describing them, how they can work in a church setting, they can work in a healthcare facility if you're talking to patients, and also if you're talking to the doctors and the healthcare providers. It can work any one of these ways, and all of them can learn something from your characters, it seems. That's wonderful. That's just amazing that you've done that. Thank you so much. Now, what is this, in our closing words, because we have about 6 minutes left, what are some of the things that playing these characters have done for you over your lifetime, and how have they affected your family, your children, and your husband, and your relatives?
Well, my kids never know what Mom's going to come up with. They do not. And actually, my youngest granddaughter just turned 4, and her birthday party was out in a field, a pumpkin patch, and they wanted Nana to come, of course, and of course I wasn't going to miss that. However, that same day, I had a presentation to do, and so I said, "Well, Nana will have to come as Gladys Friday, is that okay?" And Jillian said, yes, yes, please, Nana, come as flat as Friday. So that day they were having the party, and I drove over, and here they came running to my arms hollering, Gladys Friday, Gladys Friday. So they've never seemed to be embarrassed, as, you know, however Nana shows up. They just know she's going to be there. They don't know who it might be as. But you mentioned that about my girls, too. And in growing up and going through the problems and everything that we did have, we really didn't recognize them as much because we did use the humor and because we did make up these different names and characters. And we've done that for so long, the three of us, my two girls and myself. And it's just, you know, it's just amazing how much humor will lighten up the faces of the people that have struggles. Everyone doesn't come to us like a homeless person. They're not dressed as a homeless person, maybe. And everyone is maybe not a cancer survivor, but everyone is a survivor of something. Mm-hmm. And to me, if you can put a smile on someone else's face, and they're free. They are free. Some people, it feels like they want to keep the smile to themselves.
I know.
And my dad said, that's a facelift, you know, to have a smile, that's a facelift.
That's beautiful. You were blessed to have the father that you had, and you took full advantage of it by absorbing what he believed and what he lived, and then that promise you made to him to make a difference in other people's lives. You certainly have done that. I know you've made a difference in mine today and to the listeners, because we needed to hear this. We needed to understand the importance that humor can play. And even though all of us are not as talented as you are with all your characters, we still can interject humor and take a light approach. Yeah.
That's right. It's all around us. We have to just look for it. That's it.
No. That's right. That is so wonderful. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing today. And as we near the end of today's show, I want to urge all of the listeners, those of you who've been enlightened, I know you have been, encouraged and empowered, to share with you what you've learned with your family and your colleagues and your friends. And remember, the recording of this episode will be here on my website, the radio show page, blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, where you can return at any time to hear it. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, which means that in the future you will automatically get the show. Download it. You can make copies of it. There are all kind of ways you can share this episode. Before we leave, do you have any closing words you want to share with us, Denise?
I just appreciate your invitation. Thank you so much. And if anyone would like to send an email, it's the same as my website. It's DenisePriceThomas@gmail.com.
Oh, okay. That's wonderful. Well, thank you. Yes, feedback is always good. And I was glad to hear that your girls helped you create those characters, because that's got to be a lot of fun for them to have had that experience in their growing up. That's going to help their lives, too.
That's so right.
I'm glad you
They're
did
wonderful.
That.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. I'm going to invite you to join me again next Monday when we're going to have another wonderful show. Remember to work on being positive in all of your experiences and to work at coloring your life happy. Goodbye now.